Men, we are on an urgent mission. Our recent popes have made it clear. Compelled by love, the mission of making disciples must begin right here with me. I'm Brian Patrick. We're continuing our series on becoming disciples. Mission starts with me, this time on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on becoming disciples, mission starts with me. Here's the Crossing the Goal team. From Renewal Ministries, the Vice President, Peter Herbeck. President and founder of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz, our coach here on Crossing the Goal. And gentlemen, we all know that Jesus had disciples and has disciples. I never really thought of Jesus as a disciple though, coach.
Well, you know, we have to be committed to a mission. If we're going to sell out for it. And then you talk about a disciple, a real disciple is Jesus Christ. If you start thinking about it, he was a disciple of his father. And it started with him committing to the plan, his father's plan, from the beginning of his birth to death. And you know, you start talking about this commitment, you know, it's if you start thinking about it, the first 30 years of his life was in what? Obscurity. Mm-hmm. No, and knowing he was God, he went with that. And then when he did do his mission, which was only 3 years, what was it in? Poverty, trials, tribulations, sufferings, and then eventual what?
Death.
Man, that's commitment.
You're right, Danny, and all of us are called to be passionate. I'm thinking about Pope John Paul II, the man who has sort of given us the vision for this particular show. Here's what he said: to be Christian means to be missionaries, to be apostles. It's not enough to discover Christ. You must bring him to others. You must have the courage to speak about Christ, to bear witness to your faith through a lifestyle inspired by the gospel. Proclaiming the gospel is a normal outcome of healthy life in Christ. It's the norm and what it should be. And what we want to talk about today is how each of us can engage that more deeply in our lives.
Our goal with the whole program, from beginning with the first session on discipleship, was to unlock a secret about you. To recognize that you have something hidden inside of you, which is a God-shaped hole in your heart, that when God comes in there, when Jesus Christ is accepted and he begins to call you to discipleship, he begins to lead you on a path that's truly amazing. Listen to what St. Catherine of Siena said about you. She said, if you are what you're meant to be, you will set the world on fire. The devil doesn't want that to happen. That's why we're doing these shows.
All right, and we've got a perfect game plan with Peter and Curtis on Mission Starts With Me, right here on Crossing the Goal.
All right. Yeah.
I've never heard that.
I know. He's completely away.
I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we're wrapping up a series on discipleship. We're looking into God's heart for each one of us. What is God's plan for us, Peter?
I mean, Scripture says God desires that all would be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. Christianity is the religion that begins in the heart of a loving father who sends his son to go and search for a race of people who are lost and in need of salvation. So for God, we all know the passage, for God so loved the world, right? That same movement, we've been talking about it over the last number of weeks, that same loving movement of God from God's heart gets poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit. Remember we said God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit. And it's love that allows us to see God's love for us, but it's a powerful movement of God's love and a change in our heart to see God's desire to save the whole world. And he wants to birth in us a passion for souls in each and every one of us.
That's a massive vision. You know, I think what we have to recognize is that in some ways we have a sense that the church is shrinking. And in some ways it is. We've experienced terrible losses of people who were raised in the Catholic Church who have walked away. And there's another truth, that there's a vibrant, white-hot heat in the center of the church of people coming alive and coming awake. But we have to recognize is that it's not so that we'll enjoy Mass more. That's nice. That's important. Yeah. But it is so that we would live a certain way,
right,
that we would have that vision. You know, I love the points that we're getting on because they're so central. The verse you quoted from 1 Timothy is a quote from St. Paul. It's the second sentence in the Catechism.
Yeah.
God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is bedrock truth for Catholicism. Do we, do you, do I, do we have a global vision which says we're going to reach everybody, and not in 1,000 years or 10,000 years, but in a generation? We're Catholics. We don't believe in reincarnation. You don't get a mulligan.
Yeah.
We got to reach people now when they're alive.
And the heart of God is for each and every one of us to have that passion to communicate the gospel. It's clear for us, and it's important for us to see faith, knowledge of Jesus Christ, and God's plan for salvation comes through hearing. And I think there's sometimes a kind of mutism that's hanging over the church, that somehow people are afraid to talk about Jesus. It's bad form, or they're embarrassed by it, or something like that, and so they hesitate. And you hear that line often repeated about, supposedly, that St. Francis said, you know, evangelize and if necessary, use words. Well, guess what? The scripture says it is necessary to use words. We both need the witness of life, but faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the proclamation of the gospel. The first way the church serves humanity is through the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ.
No, it's kind of like Catholics have decided when it comes to evangelization, we're going to be mimes, you know. Speak up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't have to say the words unless, of course, you're going to open your mouth, because even whatever whoever gave the quote, and it is a great quote in many ways, it's attributed to St. Francis.
He never said it, but anyway.
Exactly. But proclaim the gospel always, if necessary, use words. But that means every time you open your mouth, you still need to proclaim the gospel, because you're proclaiming it always.
Yeah.
And to have this sense of, yes, the point is we have to have integrity. But you're making the other point, which is so key. We've got to speak up. It's a terrible sin and a disgrace towards God the Father to assume that the men and women that He made, that He created out of sheer love, aren't waiting to hear about Him. We assume people don't want to know the truth.
Yeah.
And we've got to change our attitude there and say, you know, it's just as likely that they're at a point in their life where they're open to grace. That's changed the way that I live.
Yeah.
It's been the key to our work on campus with Focus to let people know there's every bit of chance that the person there is open to the gospel. Don't be pushy. Yeah. Don't impose, but propose. Yeah. If they're closed, smile and continue the friendship. But if they want to go deeper, don't rob them.
I always get a kick out of the talking about, you know, don't impose. Now, that's a good principle. We shouldn't do it. But we never even come close to open our mouths in the first place most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really true. And so what the recent popes have said is, even though the church exists to evangelize, and they said it's the love of Christ compels us, we believe, so we speak. So the truth is, most Catholics are indifferent to the mission. That's what Pope Paul VI said. That's what John Paul II said. They're indifferent to this mission. Now think about where we need to get and why becoming a disciple is so crucial. Because mature discipleship comes to the place where I take on the heart of God for God's mission. People ask, well, what's God's plan for my life? Guess what it is? You share in His plan. That's God's plan for your life, that you become His disciple and you engage His mission to reach the world for Him.
I mean, we have, because of the path of discipleship God's led us on, it's taken a while to get either, but we are actually men committed to evangelization. And yet I struggle frequently.
Oh, for sure.
And the Pope challenges me, because Pope Paul said this, it's unthinkable that somebody who knows Christ wouldn't go on to share Him.
Yeah.
What do you mean unthinkable? That's my common experience, that people don't share Him.
Yeah.
And to be able to sit back and say, we brothers and sisters, we got to live differently, because if we always do what we've always done, we're going to get what we've always had, and that's not good enough.
Yeah.
We got to change the game up, because we're losing the battle right now, and mostly not because we show up and lose, we lose by forfeit.
Listen how serious Pope Paul VI was when people asked him, well, is it possible for someone to be saved if they've never heard the gospel? And that's the preoccupation. And he says, well, yes, it is possible. But here's the more important thing every disciple should think about. This is from Evangelii Nuntiani number 80. It would be useful if every Christian and every evangelizer were to pray about the following thought. Men can gain salvation also in other ways by God's mercy, even though we do not preach the gospel to them. But as for us, can we gain salvation if through negligence or fear of shame, what St. Paul called blushing or being embarrassed at the gospel, or as the result of false ideas, we fail to preach it? Listen to this. He said, it's important. This is the Vicar of Christ saying, you better pray about this.
These are challenging words. We're going to go down and we're going to talk about them. Brian?
Wow, thanks, guys. Coach, too bad that we can't all be Curtis Martins and Peter Herbecks.
Well, let's get down there and teach them young boys a trick or two.
Yeah, about mission begins with me, next in the Red Zone here on Crossing the Goal. me? Mission begins with me? That's the subject that we're talking about, but a lot of guys would just react that way. It's like, me?
Yeah.
You know, we're really not into this game too much as men.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of in a state of shock about the whole thing. The truth is, we just haven't been raised to think this way.
Absolutely.
We're living in a privileged time. We really are. With the recent popes and the work of the Holy Spirit, there's a whole new wind blowing through the church. We're being awakened to something that's fundamental to being a disciple. We've had the privilege to live during the time of John Paul II, Paul VI, Benedict XVI. They've been clear as a bell about this, and it's very challenging. Unfortunately, what they're calling us to is a little scary.
You know, it is fearful sometimes. You know, you go out there, and I'm committed to Jesus Christ and the church and everything, and I'll be sailing along, and I'm going to go evangelize here. I'm all fired up, and then all of a sudden, Lord says, I want you to do this. And you really don't want to do it. You say, is that really the Lord speaking to me? You know, but I find myself, a lot of times it's with my own family. And I get a fear of, say, wait a minute, if I do that, what's the consequences? We can't worry about what the consequences. We have to be obedient, as we said earlier show, that we have to speak out. So sometimes I talk a good game, but I don't back it up with what I've got to do. Yeah. But you know something? I don't get down on myself.
Yeah.
I don't want you guys to get down on yourself out here. We're weak. I know I'm weak. I'm a fall. But I'm going to get back up. And I know Jesus knows that where my heart is.
You know, I went to LSU and go Tigers, and
we'll let you talk anyway.
Yeah, right. At LSU, there's this bench out in the parade ground, right in the center of campus.
Yeah.
It's called Free Speech Alley, and anybody can get up and stand on this bench and talk. And about midway of my junior year, I realized God was calling. I want you to get up on the bench, and I want you to tell people that you believe in me. And for weeks, I would walk by that bench going, okay, today's the day, today's not today. And I would just freak out because it was just, and it just was a huge issue for my courage to be able to stand up. And it literally took me months to kind of muster up the courage to stand up on that thing. And more than once, I started walking up and, you know, turned around. It was such a liberating moment to get up on the bench. And it wasn't a big deal. I didn't do a great job. Yeah. But just get up and say, you know, a lot of people get up here and talk about different things and faith and different things. I'm here today to tell you, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe that he came and he died for us. And I've accepted him. And if anybody's interested in choosing to accept him as Lord, I'm here. I'd like to pray with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a few heckles and things like that. Nobody got angry. Nobody punched me. It wasn't offensive. But it was a huge issue. And I just think we've got to recognize whenever I have pushed my comfort zone, I have been richly rewarded by the experience.
It's very true.
I had a similar experience with 40 Days for Life. I've talked a lot about 40 Days for Life on the radio show, on the Sunrise Morning Show, and participated in organization and things like that, but never really actively went out and prayed the rosary in front of the abortion clinic until a couple of years ago when I just felt, I was like, you really need to do this. And I was intimidated by it. I really didn't want to go, but I did anyway, and I'm so grateful, and I'll continue to be a part of it. But it takes a little guts.
Something similar to your situation. The Lord was speaking to me. I just was walking down the street, and it just came to me. And the Lord says, I want you to pray for that lady. She was walking. And I said, well, you know, you mean now I'll pray for her? No, I want you to pray with her. She's getting further, I'm going further. I said, no, all of a sudden, it was very intense. I want you to pray, the man alive. So I started going, running back. I said, excuse me, lady. You can imagine how in this world now, someone coming up tapping you. I said, ma'am, I know you probably think I'm crazy, but the Lord asked me to come and pray with you. Do you mind? The lady said, do I mind? I need prayer so bad. She started crying, and I started praying with her. So weak. I mean, I felt so good afterwards. So weak, though. And she says, I can't tell you how much I need prayer.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, I think when we think about evangelization, this is how simple it is.
Simple,
you know, you're docile to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's prompting you. You're trying to listen, trying to be obedient. And evangelization is essentially, what do they say, one beggar sharing with another beggar where the feast is.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's one heart communing simply with another heart about the love of God. And it comes in so many ways. I'm just thinking as I'm sitting here, a good brother back in Ann Arbor, Christ the King Parish, or St. Thomas Parish, I'm sorry, in Ann Arbor, who is dying of cancer right now. And he was in the parish, had never really been involved in evangelization. He heard an announcement, somebody was needed to take the Eucharist to the hospital, you know, on a weekly basis, to dying patients and stuff like this at the U of M Hospital. So he thought, well, can I do it? No, actually, I hate hospitals and I'm chicken to do this kind of stuff and I don't want to do it. The message was, it came again the next weekend at Mass. His wife sort of prompted him. He decided to do it. He took baby steps. 30 years later, 30 years this guy did it. He came on my radio show and shared stories of leading people to the Lord just before they died. Dozens of people. Wow. This guy in the quiet of that hospital, in his own humble way, that guy was like an acolyte getting people ready to meet the Lord, you know, that's getting them ready for heaven. It was just simple. And he did it for love. And he was scared at the beginning.
Yeah.
But he said, Lord, I'll do it. And one step after another. And this guy has had an amazing life of evangelization.
Just a point of clarification. When we're talking about the Lord telling us to do this stuff, we're not hearing voices.
No, exactly. I mean, he might be. But
well, he might. Yeah. Some do. That's not, but for the most part, it's an impression. But it's an impression that sticks with you. And one of the things you need to have the ability to receive that is some sense of quiet in your life, which goes back to knowing Christ and being open to the Spirit. Our first show is on this issue. But I just want to clarify that, because sometimes when I hear people say, well, the Lord told me, well, the Lord doesn't tell me anything.
Right.
But when I sit quietly and I'm attuned, He actually is nudging me, prompting me. Something crosses my mind. Somebody's on your mind. You're like, gosh, I probably should call them. And then it's they're on their mind a little bit later. There's a point that says, give expression to your impression.
Yeah.
And God will do amazing things.
Curtis, you know, you're so deeply involved in evangelization with Focus and everything. What can guys do who are saying, look, I'd like to do it more, I'd like to begin to evangelize, but I don't know what to do, what to say, what should people do?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a great webpage we just launched called Focus Equip, and they can go to that, focusequip.org, and it's some great stuff. But I would say this, you got to find some buddies. Evangelization is a team sport.
Right.
It's a great thing to stand up on a soapbox or go door to door by yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what we train people to do. Evangelization is a community of believers going out and creating context and an environment where the faith in Christ can be shared.
Yeah.
And so one of the great things we did one time is we had a slow motion football game. And spring break in Florida, we got 22 guys, some pro football players actually came down and did a slow motion football game, and they ran all the plays and gathered literally thousands of college students. And in the midst of that, somebody stands up and says, hey, we're down here with a Christian group. If you'd like to learn more about how you could live for Jesus Christ and how he could change your life, stick around. And hundreds of people do.
Yeah. Right.
And just create that. So we train people, then create environments and share the faith and watch what happens. It's prayerfully presenting the gospel and leaving the results to God.
Yeah, I think one of the things we do too in Renewal Ministries is we do evangelization schools, again, inspired by John Paul II. Just helping people to get to the fundamentals. What's the message that you share? How to share the gospel? What is it?
Simple.
And then what's my own story? How do I tell my own story? I think you mentioned it last time. And then if you want training, you can go to Renewal Ministries website. You can go to Focus's website. You can go contact Danny at Crossing the Goal. We'll do everything we can to be able to help you. It's actually not real complicated. You get the encouragement you need and some good practical help and formation.
You know, why do you guys think it is that we're afraid sometimes to bring this up? Why do we assume that people aren't going to want to hear about the gospel?
Well, I mean, you guys might have opinion. I think it's always the devil. He's always said, you can't do it. You're not worthy.
Good point.
He uses the worthy thing. You're not worthy.
Fear of rejection.
Look what you've done. We've all been sinners. Yeah. And if we wait, the way I look at it, especially dealing with us, where you're ready to step out, and you've walked the walk, and you believe and all that stuff. If it's not us, then who? If not now, then when? When are we going to do it? Yeah. That's what we have to figure out.
I mean, John Paul II's line, I love it. He said, the time is over. We can no longer remain idle. It's time to jump in with both feet right now. Cooperate with the Spirit.
Well, speaking of that, we talked about this last night. The time's right now, guys. Listen to me. We've talked about it. You heard about how to evangelize, when to go evangelize, you're not worthy, all this kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about, you say, stepping out into the marketplace like you get up on a bench or go out into Renewal Ministries. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you right now. You sitting at home with your wife. We only got a few minutes on this show. When it's over, I want you to evangelize with your wife. Talk about your faith to your wife for about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you're not married, find a friend, a close friend. Just share your faith with them. If you don't have the faith right now, just tell them, I'm trying, I want the faith. But start to step out. Take that first step. The Lord will honor that, I promise you. But don't be afraid. And like these guys says, find other brothers. But the time's now. It's not later on. It's right now, men. Step out.
All right.
Good.
These guys get the last word in just a moment. You heard the coach. Time is right now. We are talking about being disciples, and the mission starts with me. Yes, me. We'll be in the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
teach them. Yeah. It's just you're in the zone.
Reach the end zone on Becoming Disciples. Mission starts with me. These guys will get the last word on our topic. But first, let's look at our email bag from John. He said, I want my grandkids to know Jesus, but they live far away and I only see them a few times a year. What can I do to build up their faith, even if their parents aren't always active in church?
Well, I think there's two ways you can do it. One, if you're from a distance, you can't go with them all the time. So what I would do is send them materials. You can go to EWTN catalog and send them various DVDs and little books that they can read and watch. Also, when you're there with them, when you have the opportunity, you take them to church, you read the readings before, you talk about the Lord all the time with them. Have fun playing games, I do all that stuff. But there comes a time when I evangelize and you got to get down to their level and they'll come around.
Yeah, and pray with them. Yeah. You know, when you're there, make sure you pray with them before they go to bed. And you can even pray with them on the phone when you're not there. All right, and Nancy writes, my sister doesn't attend Mass, but she's very open to talking about faith and spirituality. But she thinks the Catholic Church isn't open to women serving in leadership roles, and she says she's turned off by that. Is there anything I can say that might change her mind?
I think one of the reasons she might be turned off is because she doesn't understand the church's position on the dignity of women. And Pope John Paul II wrote a wonderful document called Mulieris Dignitatum, on the dignity of woman. And have her read it. Read it together with her. Talk to her about it. Share some of the ideas and help her catch the vision.
Not only that, I think that there's a whole issue right with this whole session that we're going through right now, and that is she's called to leadership within the church, as are you, as is everyone. We've quoted St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa of Lisieux. There's so many great women leaders. All of us, all lay women, all lay men, all priests and religious, we're all called to leadership because the world is desperately looking for Christ-like leaders to lead us into the gospel and into eternal life.
All right, so now the last word on Becoming Disciples. Mission starts with me. Let's start with Peter.
I want to give Pope John Paul the last word. With great urgency, he described being a disciple like this. He says, to follow Jesus involves living as he lived, accepting his message, adopting his way of thinking, embracing his destiny, and sharing in his project, which is the plan of the Father. It involves inviting everyone into communion with the Trinity and having the burning desire to invite others to encounter the one whom we have encountered. This is the start of the evangelizing mission of the whole church.
Powerful.
Yeah.
I started the session right now with a quote from St. Catherine of Siena, who said, if you are what you're called to be, you will set the world on fire. I'd like to close with a quote from St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, on a very similar theme, showing the power behind God's plan for your life. He concluded all of his meetings with the young Jesuits with a simple phrase, go set the world on fire.
Curtis, to start with, I'm glad he had to pronounce that encyclical and not me.
We'd still be
around
that. More than two syllables.
Hey, I got a perfect one for you guys. You want to have a mission? Easy one? Have every guy you meet start watching Crossing the Goal show, and you'll evangelize him, I promise you.
That's a good way to go,
hey,
Coach.
Good idea.
Curtis, Peter, thank you. Next time, we have some special guests. We're going to continue our series on Becoming Disciples, but expand a little bit into family matters with special father and son guests, Chris and Peter Burek. That's next time on Crossing the Goal. We hope to see you then.
Poverty, trials, tribulations, sufferings, and then eventual what?
Death.
Man, that's commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's next?
You are.
I thought you were gonna go.
I can't say anything.
Wow.
We can just pick it up right
pick
there.
It up
we'll go.
Peter.
Pick it up right there. I didn't want to jump in. I thought it was your turn.
No.
I'm kind of sensitive about it being your
turn.
That's
the first time he's ever been quiet. Get a